Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today we're going to talk about how youth leaders can choose curriculum and write their own devotions and Bible studies.
We know that lots of youth leaders volunteer to help youth ministry without a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. In fact, you might have no training or experience. You're jumping in the deep end. And if that's the case, then this is the last in a second series. So you have plenty of content to go back and listen to that we're calling the Starter Pack. And these are for you as you kickstart volunteering for youth ministry. We really are just here to give you kind of some best practices and some things to think about.
One program element that all youth ministries have is time in God's Word, either in longer Bible studies or maybe in shorter devotions. And one of the practices of healthy youth ministry is to help every young person deeply understand their baptismal faith. In a perfect world, we'd have maybe a year or more of curriculum planned well, thought out lesson plans and objectives and all those things, and you could have hours to prepare and practice each lesson. And the world wouldn't ever change around us or new issues wouldn't arise that are in the minds of young people.
If only it were that easy or that simple. Time constraints, changes, adaptations, new young people in your youth group, all of those things have left plenty of us, and I will put myself in that list, planning for Sunday school or midweek the night before, or maybe having even gone into those events with a Bible study and sort of a half-formed thought and hoping we could wing it, which... sometimes works.
Right? Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes.
The Holy Spirit does work into those situations.
Fair enough. But we would love to resource and encourage you to be able to bring some intentionality and planning into your time in God's words with your young people. So today we're going to break down some of the things we think you should keep in mind as you choose or write your own devotions and Bible studies. So the first thing we're going to do is maybe talk a little bit about what it means to like maybe choose a lesson or a curriculum series. And I know about you guys, but one of the easiest things to do is Google search youth ministry curriculum. I did it yesterday just to see what would pop up. And I think we've all done that. And I know everything that comes up in that search is not always going to be quality.
Right.
Not always going to be helpful. And as you're sorting through material, you might want to keep some of these questions in mind as you're assessing that material.
Yeah, so one of the things that I definitely do is look at kind of what is the source of the material, which might give you kind of some of those biblical or theological presuppositions that are going to come out in those materials. So knowing that different publishing houses are maybe affiliated with different denominations is one place to start if it's like that type of a resource that you're looking at.
Yeah. And also, you know, if it's not necessarily tied to a publishing house, it might be somebody's blog or another website that might have material. Be sure to kind of be very cautious and careful about that material because they can sneak in all kinds of beliefs that don't align with even Christianity at all. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've looked at something and been like, that looks... oh, that's Mormon. That is something very different. And you don't always catch it right away.
And I think it's helpful for me too to do that, to like always be refreshed with that, because it also understands when our young people are doing their own searches too, to be like, help them be that filter too, as they're looking online for materials or devotions themselves for encouragement, to be able to say like, hey, here's even some ways to think about that and point to good resources.
Right. And so one of the things we do want to mention, in case you maybe aren't familiar, Concordia Publishing House is our LCMS publishing house. And everything they publish has been through a process that we call doctrinal review, which means that you can be confident that if you're looking for something, you're like, okay, well, if I'm looking at publishing houses, who am I looking at? Concordia Publishing House, cph.org, would be where we would push and say like, hey, all of those have gone through doctrinal review. The other place that we're going to do a little plug for, Youth eSource is our resource website. And again, everything on that website has been through doctrinal review. So you can be confident that what you're looking at is Lutheran and has all of our theology attached to that. And so those are good places to start if you're like, I want to Google search. The Google search brings up too much. Those are going to be two places that you can go.
So another question, certainly looking at those resources too, is the material you might see interactive and fitting the right connection with your young people, your audience that you're going to have. And then also certainly too, an important thing is we love to challenge ourselves as we look at our resources. Does it have substance? Is there something there again that young people can chew on in God's word or theologically and be able to grow them deeper in their understanding of God's word? And you too, as the teacher, to be able to learn as well, to have that kind of substance around it.
Yeah, so I look at lessons and maybe I'm assessing and I'm like, oh, this is great, except that it's 75%
right.
games and it's 2-minute devotion. Mm-hmm. And you're going, okay, mm-hmm. is that the right proportion for what I'm doing and the goals that I have for my young people? Or, okay, am I going to sit down and read them this lecture series? Mm-hmm. You're right. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a balance, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, but like making sure that the balance of that lesson is really giving you a chance to have both some interactive engagement, different kinds of learning, so auditory, physical, interactive, verbal learning, but that it's not just staying on the shallow end of that content. Mm-hmm. It's not going too deep for them either, not going way over their heads, but trying to find that sweet spot where teens today want to talk about meaningful mm-hmm. things in their Bible study.
Yeah, I think there's so much. You think of a young person who, if you're doing a midweek and an evening time, like they've already done a full day of being in school and in classrooms, yeah. and so like maybe it's their time to do a little bit more movement and interaction because mm-hmm. they've had a full day of that already. And so it gives them a different way of learning, a different way to interact after, again, maybe a long day.
And I have found over the years that often I underestimate how deep my young people want to go.
Right.
And it's when I give them that opportunity to say like, okay, well, do you really want to dive deeper into that? They get really fascinated.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen more and more young people who say like, I know we really want to dig into some of these difficult topics. And that can be really valuable. And that can also be really scary for you
right.
as a youth leader. If you aren't familiar with some of these things, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to be learning this beside you. And that, I think, bringing in other people who can help you to balance that out and make sure that you're not just boring them, mm-hmm. right? But you're also engaging them at the depth that they want to be at. So then part of looking at and assessing that is not just kind of the activity versus content question, but also looking at that content itself. How does the material use the Bible and what does it say about mm-hmm. God's word? I've noticed when I've used other curriculum that's just found on the internet that often they're going to pull scripture and they're going to maybe even pull it out of context. So you're mm-hmm. just going to talk about this verse. You're not even going to open up scripture to read mm-hmm. it. You're going to read the verse to the kids off of maybe a worksheet or something. Or let's use a really paraphrased version of the story, which paraphrased versions of the story can be, especially if you're talking about an entire book of scripture, maybe you can't read all of it. But it's important for your Bible study and your devotion that you are in God's word, that you're reading from it, that you're not just pulling out proof texts to be able to talk about whatever content you want to talk about, but that it's using that source where we know who God is and what God's done for us.
Right. I always kind of think of like, I don't want my young people to then dig into the word later and be like, that is not what was said in class, but actually what the word of God says,
right.
and like to make sure that we are in connection. And I think what you said is so important, to actually open up the scriptures, read it for their own Bible, and hopefully too, like even getting them into the habit of whether they use a Bible app or a physical Bible, that they're bringing that to class or however, whatever the context is in which you're doing it. So again, that they have that connection with their own word of God that they can use throughout the week. I always think of 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And so that, again, we cherish God's word and make sure that when we're doing devotions and these studies that we're pointing them back, and that's, foundation and also the majority of the content that we want to be pointing young people to.
And I think that ties into this concept of also we want to ask the question about how the material prioritizes and speaks of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it can be really easy for us to pull out verses that are easy. We'll take them out of their context and we'll talk about God in maybe a way that doesn't really point us back to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is really, we want to make sure that we are helping those young people to hear and have a deeper trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If it's not pointing to Jesus, sort of God kind of affirmably, like just sort mm-hmm. of not really concentrating on the person of Jesus, it can get really kind of mixed up very
mm-hmm.
quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and always want to have that as that focus of our teaching and our connection point, absolutely.
So, you know, is Jesus the center point? Is it using material in scripture? Is it using it well? Are you getting that meat? Those are good things that we're going to want to assess. And sometimes you're going to find something and you're like, okay, that's great. And this is fantastic. And sometimes you're going to read it and go like, I'm not totally sure about that.
Yeah.
Or I think part of this is as a youth leader, the more you do it, the better you get at saying like, that doesn't sound like what my pastor says on Sunday. That doesn't sound right. And so then maybe you're asking that question, is the material sharing anything that goes against Lutheran doctrine? And here you might feel really confident. You might be a lifelong Lutheran. You know your stuff. You're going to go like, okay, that's not what we believe, teach, and confess, but this is, and this is how we're going to adjust it. Or maybe you don't. And it can be important to find somebody like your pastor, like other church workers or elders or people who do feel confident with our Lutheran doctrine to help you kind of assess those sections where you're going like, is this okay or is this not what this what we believe?
Right. And sometimes, you know, I think there can be times where you might find a lesson where it's maybe not in line with Lutheran doctrine. And there it can actually become a teaching point and be able to say, here's what, you know, someone from a different background believes on this. And this is how we as Lutherans believe it. And it gives a deeper understanding of where maybe other beliefs are within different denominations and to understand what we as Lutherans understand. It maybe again, that contextual piece, how we look through it through a Lutheran lens. And so it can really be a valuable teaching lesson there. And also again, to take the truth of a good lesson, maybe too, that maybe doesn't have everything that fits within our Lutheran doctrine, be able to say like, hey, this is where it lines up with where we believe as Lutherans. And so you can have that time too, especially as I think young people maybe have other Christian friends or are preparing maybe to transition out of high school into other lives to be able to say like, this is what we believe as Lutherans, to be able to have that compare and contrast side of it as well.
Yeah, and there's going to be times where, as a teacher, you're going to be able to adjust a piece of material to align with that Lutheran doctrine. But I also don't want to have to backpedal or reteach a huge chunk of the lesson because it's asking, a piece of doctrine that's not what we believe. I think a really wise person once told me like you can adapt how you're teaching it, but if there are pieces in this content like a video, like a media presentation that aren't in line with our doctrine, again, that's a really hard thing to it's a bell that's hard to unring, right? If you're because kids are going to remember those things, so making sure that when we're looking for those things that we're able to clarify, like you said, what we believe, but also that we're able to not jump into spaces where we're spending half of our lesson trying to reteach. That's a better use of your time to find something else. So, these are, I think we say like, these are lots of questions and really one of the things we want youth leaders to do is to feel confident in saying like, I'm going to look for good curriculum and we want you to look for good curriculum and make a plan, but do it with some intentionality, right? Make sure you're asking all of those right and good questions before you get and you're like, oh, this looks fine. I've skimmed it over. And then you get into your lesson and you're like, what is it? Right? So it does take a little bit of extra time and intentionality and planning to be able to have to identify the right kinds of curriculums.
Yeah. I think one of the things I think of too in terms of teaching is like, what's the old adage that you really haven't learned something until you teach it kind of thing?
Yeah.
And so I think it's such a blessing to be able to prep lessons if you have the time and you can put the energy and the insight into it. And so sometimes you're going to have leaders who are going to be writing their own devotions or studies to hit maybe something specific that maybe young people are asking. And not that you wouldn't go out and find good resources that are there, but you might need to tweak it a little bit based on your context. So again, that comes up many times and we just want to lift up maybe a couple things to think through when you're in that situation. One thing that we'll start with is just to know your audience and know your space. This may mean knowing, again, the age of your group, as best as you can tell of who's going to be there, how much they know about the Bible maybe, so how much do you need to explain and give context to whether it's a biblical scripture or a story or a narrative that's in scripture. Are you have tables? Are you in couches? Are you in chairs? What are those kind of ways, especially if you want them to interact, the amount of time you need to give, the kind of questions you need to ask, maybe the prep you need to give for young people, the materials may need to have. And all those things can kind of impact maybe, again, that Bible study you're going to use or the devotion you're going to write.
Yeah, I can remember vividly at least a couple of times being like, I am so excited about this devotion, and then getting to the space and being like, we are outside.
Yeah.
It is.
And there's cicadas.
Right. There's something, we don't have a speaker system. We're outside. The thing that the object lesson is something that nobody can see because they're all on these like weird outside tables and you're like, oh, none of this works here. Mm-hmm. Right. Or you come in with a really great lesson and all of a sudden every kid knows every answer because it feels like a lesson they've heard six or seven times already. So the more you can know about those, your audience, who are you going in and talking to and what's going to happen in that space, the better you're able to tailor that to make sure that you can keep their attention and really get the point across that you want to share with them.
When I was at the seminary, we had to go, we do a teaching the faith class, and I had to go into a Lutheran public school. And I didn't grow up going to a Lutheran school, so certainly knew the word of God through my church and stuff like that, but I thought I was doing this great job of retelling the story of that was in scripture for that day using a curriculum. And finally, one of the young astute students said, we know the Bible.
Right.
We know the story. Move on. Get to the teaching. Like, oh, okay. Probably should have known that before I walked into that situation.
Right. And then I think the second part of this, and this is one, it's a lesson for me too. You want to do more than just lecture as a learning tool. Mm. I am somebody who gets very into especially when I'm writing a lot of the little nuances in scripture, I can tend to go down rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny enough, I've had people be able to be like, oh, you wrote that because I get on a tangent and then I just keep talking. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot of me talking, which is not educationally, when we're talking about teaching well, that's not always the best way to do that. You're going to want to balance that material. So it means not just writing a full hour-long lecture for your young people, but it's about having activities that might drive the lesson home. It might be questions that they can ask. Mm-hmm. It might be ways for them to get into the story. All different ways that you can have them process themselves, writing things down or journaling or all different kinds of things that you can include as a part of your learning. Because we know adolescent brains will learn best when they have some emotion attached, when they have some interest attached, when they got some activity stimulation. We know that that's going to help them remember the thing that you're teaching them. So we want to make sure that we don't just drone on and bore them. We want to make sure that they are interacting with you and with the material as you go through the lesson.
And so is that context too, like what time of day are you doing this lesson?
Sure.
And those kind of things that you know probably well enough about what's the best way to get them engaged in that process or what's going on in their lives to where's their brain at and prepped to take whatever type of learning it might be. And to be thinking that through in those in that context and when you're teaching. We mentioned this before too, when you're going through those things, really focus and keep youth in the Bible. In times when it's not needed to not just paraphrase or skim over the scriptures, but get them into the scriptures, it might be, again, helpful to have them read the passage of the scripture, whether that's on their app, in a physical Bible, whether you print that out for them, maybe read responsory between like a psalm or something like that to where there's a responsive reading back and forth so that people are engaged and be able to see the word of God and speak the word of God and be able to do that. You know, in some cases too, like we did this, I know one youth gathering had a kind of an acting out of scripture to actually be put into the place of those people in the accounts of scripture to be able to like understand that and be able to go deeper into what those, whether it's the disciples or others that were a part of that and be able to explain that more. And that made an impact on them understanding those scriptures that happened. And so that kind of maybe takes a desire to, again, help young people feel comfortable in the scriptures. And especially you'll know your context, whether these are maybe young people have gone through confirmation and gone that process, or maybe they have not. And so it might take a little bit more time to help them open up their Bibles and get to the point and be sensitive to that in terms of getting them to the right spot and to the right page and connect that way and take that time to do that can be a real blessing in the life of a young person.
Yeah, and the more that we can get them into scriptures and feel comfortable reading their Bible, finding things in their Bible, understanding what's happening in their Bibles, the better they're going to, more confident they're going to feel when they want to do it on their own, right? When they have the chance to go, and they're like, okay, this is not a scary, intimidating book. I know how to open it. I know how to read it. And often, one of the things that I'll do is if, especially if we're reading a longer passage, we're going to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to ask some questions to make sure that we understand some comprehension questions. Do we understand what's happening here? If we do, great, we're moving on. If they don't, okay, how do we figure out, okay, how we teach them how they figure out what's happening in that context of that passage before we move on and do that again. And that can be really helpful in helping keep you specifically in the Bible and feeling like they are confident learners in Scripture. Another big, big, huge piece of this is as you're writing, making sure that you are balancing well law and gospel, right? Hopefully everyone is familiar with those concepts, the idea that law is that shows us our sin, it shows us our brokenness, and the gospel that shows us that Jesus came and died for our sins, right? I'm sure we could go into much deeper theological context there, but for that practice, you want to make sure that you are balancing both law and gospel as you go through that lesson.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, as young people are growing up in their faith, and, you know, again, if they've maybe gone through confirmation, they're going to have a pretty good baseline understanding of that. But there's new life experiences, and they're still looking through that filter of law and gospel, of what does the scripture say that where I don't measure up, and at the same time, where is maybe scripture pointing me to how I should live as a faithful disciple of Jesus? And so you're able to, again, be able to continue to help them with that yes, we fall short, we are forgiven by Christ. He gives us a gift of faith and love to go out and live as his lights into the world, and how the scripture helps us do that and to encourage us and to give us, again, God's word to help us as we live out our life of faith in our world. And so, again, that's always gives that kind of foundation for us to help young people as they hear the word of God, as they continue to study the word of God, so that they can have that straight in their mind.
And I find that as I write material, often I will write it and the first draft will be leaned really heavily towards law or really heavily towards gospel. So one of the images I've seen, I think Jessica Bordalo wrote this in a piece for us, is thinking about it as a wheelbarrow. As you're moving it forward, how are you balancing going back and forth between those two things and balancing them? And sometimes it takes a couple of drafts for you to be able to figure out exactly how you balance that well, and then making sure that that comes out in the way that you present that material. And part of that is practicing the what you're going to present and thinking through the entire time. I know it can be like, okay, we've kind of looked at it. I think I know what the plan is. And then you haven't really looked through the piece and suddenly it's 10 minutes instead of 30 minutes, or it's 30 minutes instead of 10 minutes. And now everything is sort of thrown off. So going through and thinking about each part of the devotion or Bible study, how it will go, how much time you think it will take, walking through every piece to make sure you aren't missing items. Nothing worse than getting in there and being like, okay, and now get out your pens and pencils and nobody's got any, right? Or, okay, now we're going to play this game and all the supplies are back in your office or back in the youth room or wherever, to make sure that you have all the things that you need so that this that your work as the leader can feel seamless to your young people and they can just really be focusing in on the lesson. Oh, man. All right. There's a lot of pieces to that. So I applaud people who take on that writing their own devotions and Bible studies, or even just to take and adapt the devotions or Bible studies you find for your group. That can be a big task and a time-consuming one, but one that can be really helpful when it's done well.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's where certainly why we do something like Youth eSource, is to have resources that are there, that are available, that, again, can maybe get you quicker to that time where you can practice them and make sure it fits your context and do that too. But we know there always are going to be those times too where maybe writing your own will help you go deeper into your understanding of a topic to be able to do all those pieces and the resources you can have. And also too, there are just times that maybe questions come up from young people to where it's like, man, I'm just not finding the right thing that exactly connects to this. I can find a part that maybe explains a portion of it well, but really want to go deeper into help answer the questions that my young people are struggling with, maybe right in our context, in our community or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So then kind of getting into this idea of as you lead your lesson, there's a few things that we would mention to you. Well, the first would be to make sure that you're giving yourself time, that you're taking time in prayer before you prepare and before you lead, that you've read through everything in the lesson. So either if it's something you wrote or something that you found some CPH or Youth eSource or somewhere else, that you're reading through everything so that you are confident. I say this as a person who has gotten to the middle of the lesson I've taught and being like, I don't remember remember this section at all. And I don't know what I'm supposed to be teaching here, right? So making sure that you know every part of it. And that really helps the lesson come to life, because when you're confident, then as you're teaching, you're able to make better eye contact. You're better able to gauge where your young people are interested, what questions they might have. You can go into that and help make the lesson more applicable to them when you are prepared well.
I know one thing I love, again, we talked about this in other contexts, but is thinking about using open-ended questions too, to get responses. I mean, again, one, it just allows you to get feedback on the lesson, allows maybe for some more discussion to take place, gives you a little bit of a break to let others, again, give some responses to that. I think of one way, just like an easy way maybe to start on that is just like think back to the catechism. In so many places the catechism asks, what does this mean? And certainly in the catechism, we have the answer that, at least your youth that have gone through confirmation would have studied that if there's a time where either a specific scripture, or if you are studying the chief parts, or maybe a topic that the catechism might immediately respond to, but you can just simply ask that question, what does this mean? Or how do you see this applied to your life? And be able to get, again, feedback and interaction that allow you also to maybe tailor future lessons, but then also to respond and be able to connect more closely to young people in terms of what they're thinking of and the questions that they might have. And then also too, if it does something that relates back to the catechism, what a great way to be able to point back to something already taught, and be able to use that again as a tool and as a guide for young people as they continue to grow in their faith.
Yeah, I think one of the more basic things that certainly I have fallen prey to, right, is you're asking that open-ended question. Great question. Let the silence hang.
Right, right.
It's the worst on Zoom, but if you're in person, it's still pretty bad. Let it hang. Let them feel awkward about it. And if it goes on for an extended period of time, then my follow-up question is usually like, either did that question not make sense?
Yeah.
Right? Do I need to rephrase it for you? Or like, I might ask it again in a slightly different way, but like, I also don't want to ask three different questions in a row for silence, right? So trying to help make sure that they engage, that gives those internal processors a second to come up with an idea. Also, sometimes you ask a question and they're like, I don't have any idea what that question means. And you just need to go back and maybe rephrase it in a different way. And as you're doing that, you're going to make sure you know what you want your students to walk away with. It is easy for us, especially if you're writing the material, to have all sorts of different things you want them to come away with, right? I might have 4, 6, 10 ideas of things that I want them to walk away with. But especially if you are limited on time, it's better to have one key takeaway that you emphasize with other points, something that you feel confident, this is what I want our young people to be able to walk away knowing and understanding well. That helps keep every other kind of tangent back pointing towards the right point. It helps you as a leader to know where you're trying to draw people back to. And as an educator, repetition is your friend. Don't be afraid to repeat yourself a couple of different times and in a couple of different ways.
And then we always say too, like throughout the lesson, whether it's the the major point of the lesson, or whether it's maybe through a wrap-up time that you have, or maybe it's even through maybe the prayer time that you have, is that we always want to make sure that every lesson reminds young people of the most important thing, that they are forgiven in Christ, that they're recipients of his gift of eternal life, and that through his work at the cross and the truth of the empty tomb, that that is something they can rely on and point to. And so again, that might just be a wrap-up statement to say like, hey, we're talking about this portion of scripture, this might be an account from the Old Testament or whatever, but like make sure we don't forget that part, even when tangents have come in, that we make sure we bring them back to that most important thing that they walk away with, and that's the thing that they remember as they leave your class.
I think you have to balance knowing where you want your young person to go, knowing the point of what you're trying to do in your lesson, with letting students lead and guide as the lesson goes, right? So this is the part of this where we also want you to be flexible in that if things come up for young people, or if they get caught up in one aspect of a story, or they get caught up on one part of a lesson you're trying to teach, be willing to follow some of those rabbit holes and see where they take you. And sometimes they may may take you a place where you're not totally comfortable. And it's okay then to say like, okay, this is really interesting and I see you're really fascinated by this, but this is something that we want to come back to. Let me do some, you know, some work, and then really do come back to them with a future lesson. It doesn't have to be the next week, but like a future lesson where it helps them to go back to that spot and dig in a little bit deeper. Sometimes young people will come out of a lesson that you think you're headed in one direction and they will head in a very different one. And being able to kind of let them do some of that leading and guiding as much as you can within the context of that lesson, I think is really can be helpful as well. Mm-hmm.
So Juliana, obviously you spend a lot of time kind of talking about these issues around preparing studies, curriculums, that type of stuff. So when you're doing that for Youth eSource, like what are some of the things that you're thinking of when you're interacting with our writers or you yourself are maybe planning some stuff that you say, like, what are we helping people teach or helping them focus on? Like, what are some of the filters you use, or as the people who we're talking to, the practitioners who are doing it, what are some questions that they should be asking or thinking about that as they prepare their curriculum or individual plans?
Yeah, I think the first thing I want a youth leader to do is to get some meaningful input from their youth, mm-hmm. right? What are they interested mm-hmm. in talking about? What part of scripture do they feel like they don't have a lot of competence in, or they would like to know more about, or maybe sometimes it's just a part of the Bible that they're interested in hearing more about. So letting them kind of give some direction to that mm-hmm. is really mm-hmm. important. But I try, especially with eSource authors, to come up with strategies for us to get through, not just sticking in one part of scripture, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. we don't need to spend 4 years in 1 Corinthians, right? Mm-hmm. Like we want to spend something mm-hmm. Help them to understand the whole of scripture and mm-hmm. God's narrative in the whole of scripture. I think that helps them to be lifelong learners and well-rounded. And then I think for us, you know, we talk about the 40 end right. goals, right? As being pieces that we think are important. These kind of big picture statements and questions that we want our young people to feel confident in mm-hmm. as they go through adolescence and into adult life, what that looks like for them at that age.
Yeah, and so much of that was built on, you know, it's a little different maybe at a level of like denominationally to listen to the youth, but that's where, I mean, like we listen to the surveys that we do from the young people themselves, our youth lead, either both the executive team and then also the participants there, just like, where can we help you articulate your faith in the context of which you're in and get, oh man, I can't believe the feedback we get from them. I mean, just about way that we can help them or questions that they're wrestling with from the adult leaders themselves that we try to, that's really was kind of the foundation of that, those 40 angles is what were young people telling us that they were wrestling with in the world. And then draw from scripture, draw from the liturgy, draw from the catechism, draw from those things to where like, if there's a lot of things again that we want to have on your hearts and minds, here's some things that we want to put in the foundation before you make that transition from high school into college or whatever might be the next step for you.
Yeah. So on Youth eSource, for example, the year after the gathering, we spent a lot of time in these studies. We created mm-hmm. these 4-part studies with mm-hmm. 4 devotions that go with them that are all around our 40 end goals to help give some flesh to that. And then like we're getting ready to do a series getting into the 25 gathering that's going to be all in the Old Testament, because I feel like we've done a lot of topical stuff and we want to get back into some Old Testament scripture. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot there for young people to chew on today mm-hmm. that we want to mm-hmm. that we want to play around with. And then but even on the eSource, we have places where like we're working through a series right now where we're taking catechetical pieces mm-hmm. and aging them up, right? So mm-hmm. you learn this in confirmation. Now, great, let's talk about it again mm-hmm. As a high schooler dealing with things that a high schooler is dealing mm-hmm. with and mm-hmm. the questions that high schoolers might have. Mm-hmm. I think there's some great spots for you to be able to assess where your young people are at, what are they interested in talking about, and then finding stuff that goes along with that. That ultimately, we want you to be able to feel confident that your young people understand and can and understand all the parts of the 40 mm-hmm. end goals before mm-hmm. they graduate, mm-hmm. which is what they're there for, mm-hmm. which is how we got the name of this podcast. So we're hopeful that those kind of questions, those assessment tools, those things to think about, there's a lot that we put into this. People have written big, long books about right. them. You can get whole degrees in this stuff. But hopefully that's just a really short synopsis for you as you're thinking about picking and choosing curriculum or writing it yourself and leading it. And we hope that that's helpful for youth leaders in that practices as they go forward and as you start to care for young people in your church. Mm-hmm. So a couple of closing questions for you to consider. First, where are you getting your next curriculum and how have you assessed it?
How have you or are you engaging young people and asking for what they would like to learn more deeply about?
And how are you practicing these best practices in leading your lesson and writing your lesson so that your youth are engaged in God's word? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you teach well the young people of your church and of your community and share the good news of Jesus Christ with them.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find out more about LCMS Youth Ministry or to find links to resources mentioned, go to kfuo.org/youthministry. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.